taking you behind the scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Welcome to the debut episode of Preds Insiders, or should I say the season premiere of Preds Insiders for the 2024-25 NHL season. I'm Adam Vingan, your new host of Preds Insiders, and throughout the season, I will be joined by a rotating cast of characters. And this week, my co-host, the one and only Nick Kieser of Robbie and Rex Road, and Predators reporter for 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick, happy hockey season.
Yeah, happy hockey season, Adam. Glad to be back on the beat full-time this season. Glad to have you full-time as well. DVD,
yes.
11 to 2 every day. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys. And your chats with Elliot Friedman should be coming up on Thursdays once the season has started too. So stay tuned for that. Always a good plug to have Elliot every single week. But good to have you around, Adam. You did a great job this summer. And also for the last few years as well, but it's been a pleasure to see so many people grow at the station since I've been here. But more importantly, I have another hockey mind to talk things with as the season goes along. So yeah, glad to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate that. And yes, once the regular season gets underway, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet 32 Thoughts will join Derek, Willie, and I every Thursday at 1 p.m. So if you enjoy our chats with Elliot Friedman, they will be picking up soon, as the regular season is about 2 weeks away. So looking forward to that. But we have to go back, Nick, to July 1st, because that was a monumental day in the history of the Nashville Predators. Barry Trotz went shopping on Rodeo Drive and signed three of the biggest free agents on the market this offseason. Of course, headlined by Steven Stamkos. Barry Trotz signed Steven Stamkos to a four-year, $32 million contract, one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation, a captain in Tampa Bay for, I believe, a decade, won multiple Stanley Cup championships. Not to be outdone, Barry Trotz also went out and signed Jonathan Marchessault to a five-year deal worth $27.5 million. Marchessault, an original member of the Vegas Golden Knights, won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP when the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup a couple of seasons ago. And on the back end, Brady Shea, formerly of the Carolina Hurricanes, 7 years, $49 million for Brady Shea on defense. So a lot of excitement about those three players in particular as training camp started last week. Nick, you have been out at training camp every day. The big news in terms of lineup: Stamkos and Marchessault have been sharing a line with Tommy Novak centering that line. Stamkos on the left, Novak in the middle, Marchessault on the right. From what you've seen at practice of that line, what are your early impressions of what that line could look like?
Well, Tommy Novak is a slippery player. That's the best way that he's been described at camp so far. And I think he has a huge opportunity to gel with these guys in a way that he's never before with any of his former teammates. And, you know, from his college days, I've seen highlights of him then, and I think this could be a huge opportunity for him to look even better and to really shine. And he's a true playmaker through and through, Adam, and that's something that really, I think, highlights his game the most. And, you know, he didn't spend too much time in Milwaukee, but I think enough time to where he was able to get acclimated to what the pace is like at the NHL level. And I think so far at camp for me, I mean, there's been a few chances, whether it's line rushes or brief drills. I think he has shown enough to me that his passing is on point. And as long as his passing is on point to Marchessault, and especially Steven Stamkos, because, you know, that guy's got one hell of a slap shot. We saw that on full display in the second preseason game against the Panthers. And get familiar with it, Preds fans, because you're not just going to see on the power play. You're going to see it, whether it's from Jonathan Marchessault or Tommy Novak, or whoever else is on the ice. If Stamkos is in his office, you know, we always go to Gretzky's office, but I would say Stamkos has his office in the left circle right above that dot. So stay tuned for what that looks like. You'll get plenty of looks. Tommy, I think, has a different charisma, I think, around him this time at training camp, knowing the magnitude of those guys is going to make a big difference the entire season. So can Tommy stay healthy to start things off? That's what I'm going to be watching for as well, Adam.
I was surprised by something I saw on social media the other day, courtesy of the NHL public relations account, which shares a lot of fascinating tidbits about teams and players. According to the NHL, the Predators are the first team in NHL history to acquire multiple 40-goal scorers in a single offseason.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And by that, I mean in the previous season. So Stamkos and Marchessault both scored 40 goals last season. So the Predators, according to the NHL, are the first team in league history to acquire two 40-goal scorers in a single offseason. I was shocked when I saw that. I figured that it had to happen at some point. But to your point about Steven Stamkos with that one-timer, which we saw on display in the preseason doubleheader against the Florida Panthers over the weekend, he scored 40 goals last season. 19 of them were off of one-timers. That was tied for third in the NHL last season. So nearly half of his goals came off the one-timer, and that is a weapon that few in the NHL have. You think of Alex Ovechkin. You think of Mika Zibanejad. You think of Austin Matthews. Steven Stamkos has a one-timer up there like the rest of those players, the top players in the NHL. As for Brady Shea, I think there was a question of whether or not he would play with Roman Josi to start the season. They're both left-handed defensemen. And based off what we've seen in practice so far, Shea is going to play on the left side of a top pair with Roman Josi on his offhand. Now, Roman Josi is all over the ice. So a traditional defenseman playing on his offhand might present certain challenges. But since Roman Josi goes all over the ice, I see it being less of an adjustment, though he did play off on his offhand, if I'm not mistaken, with Ryan McDonagh.
Yes.
So he has that experience. My point is that because Roman Josi is a rover type, where he is all over the ice, playing on his offhand isn't as much of a big deal as it might be for a quote unquote traditional defenseman.
Yeah, no, exactly. And fun fact, Brady kind of talked about the other day that he also is used to playing the right-handed side. He spent some time with the Rangers before going down to Carolina, and he's done both. So when he started out over there at MSG playing in that building, he was on the right side every now and then, and then he got kind of acclimated playing with Brett Pesce for the last few years as well. So those two were very interchangeable, and I think the exact same thing is going to happen here in Nashville, Adam. I think for Brady's sake, I see him as a pinnacle part of this defense moving forward, solely because, not just because of the term, but also because of his age and what he brings to this team as well. And so I think it's interesting to me that, you know, he does have that security, but not only that, but he's a force. I mean, he is able to throw the body when he needs to, had a career year offensively last year. I think he has the potential to completely thrive and maybe have another career year here in Nashville, albeit it is his first year, so maybe some adjustment will take place. He's got to get used to Andrew Burnett's system, but also how does he get into the mix early in games? That's what I want to watch for. How does he get comfortable in these game-like situations? And he's going to have a few more preseason games up on tap for that. So I don't know if he'll play in the showcase necessarily tomorrow night, but I think we will certainly see him this weekend against the Lightning. So that should be a fun time for the Predators defense. That'll be more of a glimpse for what they're going to be. But yeah, Brady Shea, he's signed for the next 7 years. And so look for him to be an impact player right away, Adam.
I have one concern about Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, and I want you to tell me if I'm off base by being concerned about this.
Go ahead.
I hear what you're saying about Tommy Novak, and I've been impressed with what Tommy Novak has been able to do in his NHL career for the most part. Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, they have been playing with elite talent the past few years. Stamkos has been playing with Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point on the same line at 5-on-5. Jonathan Marchessault has been playing with Jack Eichel as his center since Jack Eichel joined the Golden Knights from the Buffalo Sabres. Tommy Novak is none of those players. Very few players in the NHL are those players. I'm curious about their level of production taking a step down in terms of center quality. What do you think about that?
I think they could even make him better. Now, that's a very valid point. They've played with very high elite forwards, and they've been able to rotate in and out of that center spot. You know, specifically Stamkos more than Marchessault. Marchessault doesn't, you know, take those face-offs. But it's interesting to me how they put those two together with Novak. You know, the biggest thing for me is, can Novak win those big face-offs? And that's going to be what we have to see from him. And if he can't do it, then he's not going to thrive on that line. If they can't get that offensive zone time down pat as soon as possible, it's going to be a struggle for that line to click, because Marchessault and Stamkos, albeit great players, Adam, I don't see them being the fastest forwards on the ice. They got some zip to them still at their age, respectively. But I think Tommy's going to have to really get used to stepping up on a regular basis. And it's going to be a true testament of his ability to hang with those guys, but more importantly, against the higher talent on the other teams as well. So that is a very valid point. Tommy is none of those elite players that those two have played with previously. I'm very curious to see if he at all can step up because of those two, but also does he have an extra chip on his shoulder because he knows he's playing with them? And it feels like a new energy of Tommy Novak is coming out. You know, Gumby is what Andrew Burnett called him the other day. So maybe he is loose enough to kind of work with them as best as possible, and I think the best is yet to come for him, but that is a true challenge for him, for sure.
I feel like he does, Tommy Novak, that is, have a lot to prove, because I thought his performance in the first round of the postseason against the Canucks was disappointing. And if you can't level up your production playing alongside a future Hall of Famer in Stamkos and a recent Conn Smythe winner in Marchessault, I mean, it's sink or swim time for Tommy Novak. I'm curious to see how that plays out. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, I had the opportunity, along with Willie Donick and Derek Mason, to sit down with Predators forward Colton Sissons last week at Ford Ice Center Bellevue at training camp. You'll hear that conversation next. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, I have to get used to saying that now, on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live from Predators training camp at Ford Ice Center, Bellevue. And we were pleased to be joined by one of the longest are you the longest tenured member of the team now? You have to be up
close.
There.
It's close. I think Yost has got him by little bit.
Colton Sissons is here.
Maybe Phil. I don't know.
Predators forward
Phil
Colton
might have
Sissons.
You by just a smidge.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look this up, but this is the 11th season, I believe, we discussed of you being a member of this organization as an everyday member of the Predators. But you've been in the organization longer than that. So how does that feel to know that you're up there? I'm not saying you're old, because I think we're about the same age, but how does that feel?
I don't know. I feel like I come to camp, I'm nervous and anxious like it was my first couple of years. So I've been around a minute, but I don't feel too old yet, so that's good.
you have seen it all. You know, Willie just mentioned you were here when Barry was still coaching, and you've seen the come up of the team, making it to the Stanley Cup Final, winning the President's Trophy, undergone some transition. But considering where you were, or where the organization was when you started, versus where it is now, I mean, how do you describe that journey for you and the journey of the organization over that time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot has turned over. A lot has changed. It's hard to summarize, really. Had some great coaches and some great teams along the way, and almost finished it off the 1 year. Came up a little bit short, but I think just the excitement and the support around Nashville and beyond in Tennessee and the South is probably the biggest difference. It's just grown so much since my draft day back in 2012. It's like night and day, so. It's been fun to be a part of that journey.
We watched from afar, of course, on July 1st when Barry went hog wild, spending God knows how much money. I know there's a figure on it. I don't remember it, but it was a lot. Bringing in Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea, re-signing UC. But those three free agent additions in particular, I believe a couple of your teammates have likened it to Christmas Day, seeing all of those players come in. Take us back to July 1st for you. What was your initial reaction when you learned that Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea were now members of the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. It was kind of hard to believe. I'd refresh the old Twitter or X feed a few times.
I still call it Twitter. It's okay.
Wipe my eyes a few times to see if that was if I was reading that right or if those were just rumors. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, just so excited. We were all fired up texting each other and texting them. And yeah, it was a pretty cool day.
Now, Colton, how has it, you know, you were excited to see those names once they were acquired. How has it been the first couple of days of practice or what? Today's the first day, right?
Second day, yeah.
Second day of practice. How has it been with those guys on ice with y'all?
It's been great. Fortunately, all those guys came in pretty early because mm-hmm. school starts at the beginning of August in Tennessee. So we've been skating and hanging out and, you know, getting not only the hockey guys but the wives together and getting to know each other, and everyone seems to be gelling pretty good. And once camp opens up here, you know it's on, and it's pretty cool to see those names buzzing around the rink and playing in the scrimmages today, competing against those guys. It's awesome. And yeah, they fit in really well so far, and hardworking guys. There's no big egos that we're gonna have to deal with, so hopefully we can gel pretty quickly.
Now because I've been through this where you've played against an individual for a good while, and you sort of dislike them, not as a person, but dislike them because they're on another team. And then you get on the team with them, and you sort of see them in a different light. Has it been that way with you guys, with the new guys that they brought in?
Yeah, a little bit. You mm-hmm. never know kind of what their personalities are like mm-hmm. Off the ice or in the locker room. So that's always the biggest learning curve. But I know I think Smitty broke Marchessault's hand last year, his finger with a slash. So they had to hug it out, I think, early, but that's about it.
You know, you were mentioning the families getting together, and I know, like, Luke Shen's family goes way back with Steven Stamkos' family. I know Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen's kids are about the same age. I feel like the youth hockey programs around here, for a certain age of kid, they're going to have some loaded teams here in the next couple of years.
It's looking that way. Yeah, they got a pretty good coaching staff. Yeah, some parents are going to be pretty shocked who's going to be teaching their kids in down south now, so they're pretty fortunate.
I know what got talked about a lot last year was the uniqueness of Andrew Burnett, the way he wants to play, and you could really see it take shape over the course of the season last year. You guys gelled more and more the more you guys did it. So how much is it different on the first day of camp this year now that you've done it for a year?
Yeah, it feels a lot different for personally. It was a lot to take in. There's a lot of new systems, and it just stylistically just different. You know, we were taught one way for a long time, and we almost felt like we were cheating a little bit how fast he wants us to play and anticipate and get up the ice. So we kind of just had to took some time to accept that and kind of just ingrain it into your brain that you don't have to think too much. It just starts happening kind of naturally and instinctually. And, yeah, it took us a little bit to understand that, but I think a lot of the guys coming back in have a good grasp of it, and I think we'll probably be able to start a little quicker.
You can play. One of the things that every coach that you've played for has used you, you can play with anybody, put them anywhere in the lineup. How tough is that for you? Is that just something you accept and say, this is my role in the league, or would you like to settle in and just play with the same two guys the whole year? Because that's never happened, right? I mean, know, basically yeah. Not.
I don't even know what that's like. So. it would be cool, I guess, to see one time. But no, I'm pretty open to just sliding around. I think I don't really need to change my game that much, no matter if I'm playing with Phil or if I'm playing a checking role with McCarron and Smitty or you know whatever I have to do. I kind of bring what I bring no matter what. And yeah, I just like being the Swiss Army knife a little bit. It's kept me around, so I'm going to keep doing it.
One thing that I know you guys are really hungry to do is to get to the playoffs and have some success. And I'm just wondering what – it's such a razor's edge when you watch the playoffs every year. Like that series last year, you go back to it, just a couple of moments here and there, it could have been completely different. But it's hard for maybe people on the outside to realize how tough it is. How do you try to, number one, live with it, but also learn and have it drive you to be able to win on the margins, which is what it takes sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly tight, and, you know, sometimes both teams just leave it all out there, and it's just a bounce one way or the other. That's how tight the playoffs are these days, especially even in the first round. I mean, just the league is so tight, the competition's so tight, and everyone's games are so dialed in at that point of the year. But, yeah, every series is different, you know. The momentum swings, and sometimes managing that, especially on the road, is tough. I think we could have managed that a little bit better in the Vancouver series. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so many variables that come into play. You never know which one's going to be the difference.
This group is pretty unique in that you have a really good stable of veterans. Some like yourself have been here for a while. Then you've got these new guys coming in that have won in other places. Then you've got this young group that has done very well in Milwaukee. You were one of those guys for a while. Now you see these guys coming up. It looks like a good blend of depth. And so how does that work when you guys are all together like that? Who are some of the guys that tie them all together, the young guys with the older guys?
I think everybody kind of pulls their weight and in that regard. The game's so different from even when I came into camp. There's no really factions between the vets and the rookies. Everyone's so open to being together and including everybody. Everyone has dinner on the roads together. I mean, we just do two team functions all the time. Starts with Yost and Factor and myself. And like Evangelista was playing cards on the plane last year, so that says everything.
I did. Yeah, that was it. I remember one time we were on the road, and the broadcast crew went out, and we looked to our right and to our left. I mean, there was just the whole team was like. I guess we all have good taste. We followed you guys. We didn't plan on it or anything, but it was interesting to see so many times you guys all do end up flocking together.
Yeah,
it's not clicky or things like that. Like it can be.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. It's been that way here, really, for a long time. The old guard with, Shea Weber and Pecorine, those guys included everybody and made a point to have the young guys at dinners and hanging out with them in the locker room and just including them in everything. So that's just the way it is now naturally. So we're pretty fortunate to have a group like that.
Colton Sissons joining us here on DVD. Again, I'm going to have to get used to saying it. It's a new show. You mentioned Luke Evangelista.
Ask Colton if he's ever owned a DVD.
Have you ever owned a DVD?
When's the last time you had one?
When's the last time you bought a DVD?
I don't know, man. 16 years ago.
Throwback. We're going throwback.
Maybe more than that. Probably more than that.
Kids these days, they don't know how good they have it, that an entire series is available at the click of their fingertips. They don't have to go to Best Buy like I did to buy box sets of The Sopranos and things of that nature.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, oh, I miss those days, man.
He knows about Blockbuster. There we go.
Kids, you used to have to rent movies. Yes, yeah, you have to rewind them. It's anyway. So you Willie brought up Luke Evangelista. If I'm not mistaken, you've been skating with him so far through camp. I was impressed from afar by the steps that he took. And when you are that young, the physical strides you make, the mental strides you take year over year can be gigantic. Just where do you see him as camp starts versus where he was last season as he was navigating his first full NHL season?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely come in very confident. Not that he wasn't confident coming in last year, but I think he's come into his own a little bit physically after a year in the NHL and learning how tough that can be. It's a different animal playing a full 82 in the NHL. So he's got that under his belt and worked hard. He always works hard this summer. I know he had a big summer back home and just has a great attitude, has some swagger and some confidence, which we love. Doesn't take it too far, doesn't have inflated ego or anything. He has a good balance, and he's a great kid, and I think he's going to have a big impact on us this year.
Barry Trotz has placed an emphasis on bringing in what he calls serial winners, and he started it last year, bringing in Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen and Gus Nyquist, and of course the moves that he made over the summer. So by my count, the team now has four players who have won the Stanley Cup at least once since 2019, and Stamkos, Marchessault, Ryan O'Reilly, and Luke Shen. You have two Conn Smythe Trophy winners in that group in O'Reilly and Marchessault. It's easy for us from the outside to talk about the effect that players who have been there and done that, and this doesn't even include players like yourself and Roman and Phillip who have gone far in the postseason, even if you haven't won a championship yet. But we talk about how much effect those winners have in a dressing room. But you being in a dressing room, how much does that permeate the room, knowing guys that have won championships, have been the MVP of the postseason, and how it helps all of you, mentally and preparing for the season?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that guys that have been there and done that just command so much respect from everybody. You can really trust what they're telling you because they've walked the walk and got it done at the end of the day. And that's no easy task, as we all know in the NHL. So when they pipe up in the room in between periods or even if we have a bad practice day, it commands attention and people really take it to heart and listen and try to instill what they're telling you.
Colton Sissons, Predators forward, joining us here on DVD. Colton, it was great to see you. Thank you for joining us, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Colton Sissons. I'm going to have to get used to saying that again.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
He's a radio guy now. Yes. You got to speak clearly, right? He's not right. I mean, can't just type it in.
No, I can't type it in anymore. I mean, like, I've been talking to this guy for close to 10 years. I should know how to say his name by now. Colton Sissons joining us here on DVD. Thanks, Colton.
That was Predators forward Colton Sissons. I made sure I had to say it right this time. Colton Sissons with me, Willie, and Derek last week at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. Coming up next, Nick Kieser and I will discuss one young player who it feels like this is a make-or-break season. For this young player, we'll get to that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Predators Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan with Nick Kieser. And Nick, before the break, I teased that this could be a make-or-break season for a certain young player on the Nashville Predators. And that young player is Philip Tomasino. Tomasino signed a one-year, $825,000 deal the day before camp opened. He was a restricted free agent. He signed right before camp started, so he was on the ice with his teammates for the first day of camp. And the first-round pick from 2019 has had an up-and-down start to his NHL career. He played 76 games in the 2021-2022 season, and he had 32 points in those 76 games. Over the past two seasons, he's been up and down. He has 38 points in 72 games over the past two seasons. So fewer games over the past two NHL seasons than he did in his first NHL season. 72 over the past two, 76 in his first year. And I wasn't around the team last season, but I was struck by something Andrew Brunette said at the end of last season about Tomasino. He said, quote, "I think Tomasino needs to grab a little bit of the identity that we've created here. If he can, and if he puts the work in, and he's relentless, then his skill will take over. If, like at different times this year, where Tomasino wanted the skill first without the work, I'm not sure he has a chance to play for us next year." It doesn't get more cut and dry than that from a head coach. He was challenged in the offseason to play to the identity that Andrew Brunette wants the Nashville Predators to play to. Based on what you've seen from training camp, I know you've spoken to Philip Tomasino since the start of training camp. Where's his mind at entering this pivotal season?
Yeah, it was good to catch up with Phil, but also more importantly, I did have a trip up to Milwaukee to kind of catch up with him there as well back in March during that time where he did get injured in the game that I was there for, but it was good to hear from Carl Taylor as in regards to him. So real quick, I think so far, Tomasino has been impressive. I think that the speed and the tenacity has come out early, Adam, and that's not something that we saw a whole lot of last season. I thought that he was a little disappointing in training camp to start last year. And I think to this point, for him being still a, quote, young guy, I think he still has an opportunity to prove himself. And Andrew Brunette was still leaving the door slightly ajar for him, I think, from those comments that he made that you just read. And that stuck with me from that press conference more than anything was that he challenged him in that way. But I wholeheartedly think Carl Taylor was not lying to me when he told me that he felt like Tomasino was a more confident player and that he's done everything that they've asked him to do. And this morning, Alex Doherty from the Tennessean is saying that Philip Tomasino is playing on the second power play unit as well. So that will be interesting to keep tabs on as well. Will Tomasino be one of those faces on the power play? You know, he's playing with Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak that we just talked about earlier, Gus Nyquist, and Brady Shea. So the Predators are splitting up Yossi and Shea for the power play's sake. I like that personally, but it's more of a challenge for Tomasino to kind of showcase his true self. And I thought that in the preseason games that he was more, I would say, more just himself, more positionally sound with the talent that they've been looking for. So far, I see a new and confident player, and also he was not shocked when I asked him that his contract took as long as it did to sign, and that's interesting to me. He wanted to wait out the best possible thing. I think he knew that it was better for him to play than not, Adam, because that's a losing situation if he cannot play whatsoever. So good on him to have good amends with the Predators regardless of what happened last year. It's a new slate for him. Yeah, 76 games a couple years ago was a microcosm of what he can be, but can he break that threshold of maybe 40 points this year? That'll be a true testament for what he can be long term.
One young player who certainly doesn't lack for confidence is Luke Evangelista. As you mentioned, he's been skating on the line with Philip Tomasino and Colton Sissons in training camp. It's an intriguing mix there. Evangelista, 39 points in 80 games in his first full NHL season. Again, not being around the team last year, I don't know Luke Evangelista yet, but I can certainly tell from how he carries himself on the ice, the kid doesn't lack for self-confidence, which is a good thing when you are a professional athlete. So what would constitute the next step for Luke Evangelista? As I said, 39 points, 16 goals in 80 games. If he were to take the next step in his development this season, what would that look like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, Pretty Boy Vincenzo was his nickname last year,
by the way. I heard
that. Yeah.
He's got an excellent head of hair.
Right, yeah. So if he can bring the same aura to his game that he showcased in this in the back half of last season, that'll be exactly what that next step looks like, Adam. On a nightly basis, can he be a threat offensively where he feels himself enough? Because I thought being up in St. Louis and seeing them start that streak was a perfect game for him to showcase what he could be long-term in this league. And I think we saw a player that brought some speed, that brought some great heads-up hockey. I mean, his IQ was outside his mind, I felt like, on that point streak. So he looked good. But I think for him, it's about taking the extra look up the ice. It's about taking the extra look at where the D-man are. Can he fire more pucks on the net? Can he create more rebounds? I felt like he held onto the puck a little bit too long sometimes last year. Andrew Burnett talked about how he was taking him out of the lineup a few times. I mean, he played, I think, 80 games last year. So for him to miss just two games is a true testament to what could have been last year to be perfect attendance. I was at a few times in school, but not a big deal. I think for him as well, it's about the opportunity that he has in front of him this year to make those big offensive chances count. And so can Colton Sissons and Philip Tomasino, you know, kind of benefit from each other? I think Luke Evangelista could be the biggest person on that line as far as point production goes. But I mean, can Colton Sissons elevate them too? But really, Luke is worried about himself. He got bigger, faster, stronger, as most prospects say, by the way. But we'll find out if that truly is something that he can live up to this season as they get started on October 10th.
So you mentioned Alex Daugherty from the Tennessean reporting Predators power play units at practice today. That second unit has Philip Tomasino, Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, Gus Nyquist, and Brady Shea. Let's talk about this first unit for a minute. Philip Forsberg, Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Jonathan Marchessault, and Roman Josi. Now, I have a trivia question for you, Nick.
Oh, boy.
Can you name the members of the Edmonton Oilers' second power play unit?
Ooh, I probably cannot, but I bet Dylan Holloway was on it.
It's a trick question because I don't think they had one. So if you didn't have an answer, that's okay. It's a trick question because they didn't have one.
That's true.
When the Oilers were on the ice on the power play, it was Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Evan Bouchard. You could say the same about the New York Rangers. If I'm not mistaken, it was always Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, Artemi Panarin, Adam Fox, if I'm not mistaken, and I believe Vincent Trocheck. I think that last spot rotates. But if I am Andrew Brunette, that power play unit, Forsberg, Stamkos, O'Reilly, Marchessault, and Josi, never leaves the ice. I think that is, just on paper, that's an incredibly talented power play unit. I know you need to have a second one just in case, but if I'm Andrew Brunette and the Predators have a 2-minute power play that they don't score on, that top unit is on the ice for a minute and 40 seconds.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like I think it's good they have a second unit. If I'm the coach, I don't need to see that second unit because I have a first unit like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I remember I set some goals at thegamenashville.com kind of talking about what I expected to see from the Preds special teams this year. And I said it would be a true disappointment, quite frankly, Adam. I want to see if you truly think this is the standard that it should be at. I think their power play has to finish above 20% this year. If you are that lineup, you've got to execute better than previous seasons. Now, The last few years, they've looked okay. Back in 21-22, you know, the power play was around 20% at that point, and I truly thought, okay, they've got something going this year with Ryan O'Reilly. You know, this is last season. I thought, okay, they could get some more things done here. It's a little bit more productive here. But you kind of walking through, this is the top line. This is what needs to work well for them. It has to click. For me, it's this bar has been set so high after having a somewhat disappointing end to the last year, because they could not even score a playoff power play goal. And that was very disappointing to see as well, especially with Roman Josi on the back end as well. You know, Shea was able to contribute 12 points on special teams last year. It's not jaw-dropping by any means, but he's still someone that has the heads-up hockey. You know, when Tyson Barrie, who is now with the Flames, by the way, when he played special teams last year, he actually was pretty effective in the 42 games that he actually dressed in for the Predators. But I think this year, it's got to be that top line. Rely on them. That second unit, it's about, can they prove themselves enough? They won't get too much ice time, but I think enough to prove themselves.
The Predators went 2-for-22 on the power play in their first round loss to the Vancouver Canucks. And I think you might be selling them short in terms of your goal. They finished 16th in the league at 21.6% last season. So I don't think finishing above 20% should be a challenge. I will challenge them to finish at least 24%.
I could see that.
Last season, 7 teams had a power play percentage of at least 24%. The Tampa Bay Lightning, Carolina Hurricanes, New York Rangers, Edmonton Oilers, Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, and Toronto Maple Leafs.
So what we're saying is they have to be elite on special teams this year.
With that type of talent, absolutely. I really don't see much of an excuse. So you say 21, I will see your 21 and raise you 24%.
Hey, that's fair.
I think they need to finish at least 24%. Coming up next, speaking of high expectations, what should realistic expectations be for this Predators team this season? Nick and I will discuss next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on a Tuesday evening. Hockey season, regular season hockey, I should say, is about 2 weeks away. And there's going to be a lot of attention on these Nashville Predators because of what they accomplished last season, specifically that franchise record point streak, surprisingly making the playoffs, and everything they did in free agency. So what are realistic expectations for these Nashville Predators this season? I heard Barry Trotz say on the first day of training camp that he wants this team to be a threat. If it's one thing to make the postseason, as Predators fans know, it's one thing to make the postseason. It's another to make the postseason and be a legitimate threat in that postseason. No one thought the Predators, who were swept in the first round by the Colorado Avalanche in 2022, no one thought that team was a threat. So the Predators want to be a threat in the playoffs. But once they get there, Barry Trotz said, let's just win a round. The Predators have not won a playoff round since 2018. If I'm not mistaken, Nick, they have lost their past 5 postseason series. They lost to, well, so, I'm sorry, since 2019. Well, I guess you could throw the Winnipeg series in there.
I'm kind of thinking about the Arizona.
So let's start. They lost in the second round to Winnipeg in 2018. They lost in the first round to Dallas in 2019. They lost in the qualifying round to Arizona in 2020. They lost to Carolina in the first round of 2021. They lost to Colorado in the first round of 2022. And they lost to Vancouver in the first round in 2024.
There you go.
So it's been a minute since the Predators have won a playoff series. Nick, you and I were on the air over the summer, shortly after free agency started, and I laid out my expectations. I shot for the Stars, not the Dallas Stars. I guess you could shoot for the Dallas Stars. They're above the Predators in the standings. This was my baseline for expectations. This team needs to finish in the top 2 in the Central Division, which means they are guaranteed home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and they must win 2 playoff rounds. And my reason for that is the collective age of this roster makes it one of the oldest in the NHL. You have to strike while these older players are still within that prime area of their careers. Steven Stamkos at 34, if I'm not mistaken, he's 34 years old, is a more effective player than Steven Stamkos at 37. I think that the Predators need to prove they don't have to win the Stanley Cup this season. And there are a few people in the NHL whose opinion I trust and value more than Barry Trotz's. I understand what he is saying by saying, let's just win a round. I have loftier goals. I think they should win too.
I think that's pretty fair, quite frankly. They've got the talent to do it. Not only that, but when you have two former Conn Smythe Trophy winners on your roster, that's got to bleed over into some way, shape, or form. And so I think that's a very fair thing to go back on. And this summer, you know, that was a pretty good conversation that we had. So I'm pretty high on that. But ultimately, when you look at this team on paper, you know, Barry Trotz talked about that too, where it's like fantasy. You know what you got. It's good. And you have to see how it all works itself out. And so right now, it's a matter of, we've got this piece to the puzzle. All these free agents are coming in. All the guys here from last year are here. And so Roman Josi even addressed at his press conference, I think it was last week on Friday or maybe Saturday, Gentry Estes kind of asked him about how, okay, so you've gotten to this point, disappointing postseasons from this point, from the last time you guys actually advanced. And Roman was really honest about how we've got to do it. We've got these pieces around us. That's the goal that we have in mind. And he talked about that standard as a captain that he has to set for this team this season. And so, Adam, that's a very good way to look at it. I remember I even wrote that they've got to win the Central this year. I think that is a great standard to set for themselves. They have finished up as a runner-up 6 times in 25 seasons in the division. So I think they could win another one in 24-25. And I think also, too, it's going to be a tight race. You know, last season, Dallas won by 3 points over the Winnipeg Jets. And I did not think Winnipeg would be that good this year. And they could also be a dark horse this year, possibly. I don't know. But it's going to get down close to the wire, Adam, and I'm all for it. But also, they've got Utah and Chicago to worry about, too, so we'll see how they do. But no question about it. They've got this elite roster right now, elite pieces. And how do some of the younger guys be good around that as a supporting cast?
The NHL says the average age rank of the Predators roster currently is 23rd in the league. One being the youngest, 32 being the oldest, but that might be skewed. It is definitely skewed by their training camp roster. So a lot of young players on their training camp roster that are bringing that average down. But once the opening night roster is set, that the Predators average age rank is probably going to be 28, 29.
That's what I saw before
30.
The season started.
It's going to be up there. And the teams that are up there are teams that have won. I remember right after free agency, I think the oldest average team, the only one older than the Predators, was the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are old, don't get me wrong, but guess what? They've won multiple times. So that's why I think that the expectation for the Predators this season, I'm not backing down from what I said over the summer with Nick Kieser. You said they need to win the Central Division. I'm not even saying they need to win the division. I'm saying they need to finish first or second so that when they host a first round, so that they will host a first round playoff series. I mean, how many home games have the Predators, how many home playoff games have the Predators lost in a row? 6?
Yeah, I think it's 6 because they won before the Colorado series was at home was the last one, right? The last time they won
haven't,
at home.
They have not won a playoff series game at home since Carolina.
Yes, that's
because
what I was
thinking
of.
Because they were swept against the Avalanche and they lost all the games against Vancouver.
So game 4 then, correct? I think is when they last beat.
I believe it is 6 consecutive home playoff losses.
6 at home, yes.
So maybe home ice advantage doesn't matter to the Predators.
Maybe not.
Who's to say? But I believe they need to finish first or second in the division, and they need to win at least 2 rounds. I think you need to see proof of concept almost immediately because you are taking a chance on older players, very good older players, but older players nonetheless. We are so close to the start of the NHL regular season. The Predators open at home against the aforementioned Dallas Stars on Thursday, October 10th. You can hear all Predators games here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. They do have a few preseason games left. They have a home-and-home against the Tampa Bay Lightning Friday in Tampa, Saturday at Bridgestone Arena, next week at Carolina on Wednesday, October 2nd, and then home against the Hurricanes next Saturday, October 5th, before the home opener on Thursday, October 10th against the Dallas Stars. Nick, it was great to catch up. It was great to talk hockey. We'll keep you in the rotation here on Predators Insiders.
Yeah, Adam, it was a pleasure to be here with you. Glad to have you with us as a family at 102.5 The Game. Be sure, check out DVD 11 to 2 every afternoon. So that'll be a fun one. But yeah, Adam, glad to talk some hockey with you.
That's my shameless plug for the evening, which I didn't even have to do. Yes, you can listen to me, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll be back next week on Predators Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.